Just give us the green light because we are almost ready to go. Oh, oh. This is the British Touring Car 2025 season preview.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back once again and it is a new season that is ready to get underway. We're going to bring you up to date with all the news, all the teams, drivers, what championships they're going to be running in for this season for 2025 as we build up to the first round at Donington. Russ, how are you?
Yes, I'm well. We've just done our predictions this morning, ready to seal those at the end of the episode, and it is horrifically difficult this year,
so tight,
as we'll get to throughout the podcast, I'm sure. Obviously, media day is done and dusted. If you haven't already, check out our vlog on that to see how we got on media day. There's a couple of driver interviews in there as well. And this podcast is purely going to look at the drivers, the teams, etc. The rules, we've covered it in plenty of depth in the off season. So if you want to go and catch up with the rules for this season, how the Jack Sears works, all that kind of stuff, you need to check out the other content, which you can do by clicking down below or finding us on Spotify podcasts, like you presume you already have done. This is this one.
Yeah, so this season we've got 24 drivers that will be on the grid. We've got seven different cars and plenty of challenges to overcome, I'd say, throughout the season, and many different rookies as well, which is nice to see.
Yes, the touring cars is absolutely in crisis, as you'd have seen in the off season with, you know, reduced grid and drivers coming off it, etc. It's going to be a terrible year. There's no point listening further.
Well, one thing I must say is I can't believe how quickly everything was done in the off season. We were ready what felt very early compared to previous seasons, with drivers getting their deals over the line. There are a couple of later ones, but they were all ready, and all but one was there for media day, as you already know. So yeah, we'll get into the drivers now. We'll take a look at where they finished last season, what teams they're now with this season, and what we think their championship prospects are going to be like going forward. So I think there's only one place to start, and that is a certain champion, and that is Jake Hill from 2024. Obviously took home the championship, he's first in the British Touring Cars, and he will be staying with Laser Tools Racing BMW for 2025, hoping to retain that crown.
That will be the goal, obviously. Same car, same team, same setup, but he has lost a very sort of treasured teammate, as it were, with Colin Turkington. They didn't perform particularly well on media day. Now,
no,
you could argue they were doing long runs rather than worrying too much about qualifying speed. I do find that slightly odd that all four cars are doing long runs and none of them were told, okay, last few minutes, go set some quali laps. But look, media day is difficult to fully judge, as we've discussed in previous podcasts. They could be sandbagging, but I don't know. Early on, I've got some slight concerns. The car didn't look fast to the human eye, and it didn't look as nimble as some of the other cars to the human eye at media day either.
One thing I must say is BMW completed a hell of a lot of laps through testing, both at Croft and at Donington for media day. More so on De Leon and Rainford, which we'll get to. Jake, I would have thought he would have gone and put in a fast time to put in that little statement of intent for the season going forward. But yeah, he's going to be looking to retain his title. But I don't know. I think he might struggle a little bit more this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's now effectively lead driver at the team as well, which adds its own sort of extra responsibilities and pressures to it. Obviously, I don't think he's ever been a lead driver at a team before. Not the team at the front. Maybe he was potentially in the Audi days, maybe. But
it's going to be a lot of pressure on his shoulders and pressure he probably hasn't felt before. So it'll be interesting to see how he deals with it.
Absolutely.
Moving on to then West Surrey Racing on their own, only have one driver this season, and they have picked up Daryl De Leon, who was in a Cupra at Unlimited Motorsport last season. Obviously, he was the only driver there, so this is going to be a huge step up and a huge change for him, but he looks like he's got all the backing from West Surrey.
Yeah, finished 18th last season in that Cupra with Unlimited, as you say. Took a few Jack Sears podiums. He might have even taken an outright win here or there along the way as well. It's a huge step up for a lad that we know is very, very fast. Obviously, they come into the team like WSR. BMW does have its pressures. And potentially, you don't want to put a down on things too early, but there is very little to no sponsorship on the car as it stands. Whether that changes before, I mean, I've cursed it now. It's the second we stop recording and the edit starts, they'll announce the new sponsor for the size of the car, etc. But I don't think there's any concerns about him not being able to complete the season. Okay. But I do have some concerns about the massive step up so quick for someone so early in their racing career. All of you know, all the stuff on paper suggests that this lad is quick, but he is inexperienced and he is now in arguably the biggest team in the series. And when you're in those teams,
there's nowhere to hide, is there?
Exactly that. And we've seen drivers that haven't done particularly well there that don't last particularly long. I'm thinking Oliphant.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Morgan.
Yep.
To a lesser extent, Jelly. Yeah, it's... He's got a lot of responsibility to try and take that team forward, particularly when you look at, this, you know, you just walk down the side of their lorry and they've got all their victories and all their sort of championships down the side of it, etc. And if he's not going to be in a championship battle, which I don't think he will be, he's going to be expected to play second fiddle or at least to support Hill in a way that Turkington did towards the end of last year. And I don't know whether that will go well or not.
I think it'll be an interesting dynamic in the team, especially with the other drivers that are in there. Obviously, we've got one more experienced driver in Aidan Moffat coming up. I think Darrell Leon's main goal for this season is concentrating on that Jack Sears. He is in, obviously, one of the better cars in the field, or how we know it to be in the last couple of seasons. So I think that will be his main goal. And if he falls short of that, I think he'll be a little bit disappointed.
One thing to point out as well, this is his first experiences of rear-wheel drive machinery. And we do know that they are very, very different. We've seen drivers in the past struggle to adapt from rear to front and front to rear. So that's going to be another factor to consider for this season for him.
Yeah, let us know down in the comments where you think some of these drivers are going to finish over the season, because we'd be interested to hear your thoughts and see what they're like at the end of the season to where they actually do finish. Moving on to the LKQ Euro Car Parts Racing with WSR side of the team now. The deal was done nice and early on in the pre-season to say that this deal would be happening, the partnership would be formed. We think this is because sponsorship have been taken away slightly from M Sport side of things. But when that brand deal was announced, we kind of knew that Aidan Moffat was going to be one of the drivers moving over to that side of the team, in which he has.
He has, yeah. Obviously, Moffat has been in the series for a long time now, finished 13th last year. He did take a win as well in the Toyota last season. He does get himself good drives, but yeah, obviously he's done rear-wheel drive before. It went okay with the Infiniti. I mean,
he struggled at times, didn't he? I think he improved vastly when Sutton came in and gave him some direction. But it'll be interesting to see how he adapts again to a real wheel drive car.
It's worth pointing out the Infiniti was a weird car to race in the first place. And Sutton, as I always say on this podcast, you know, could probably take a win in a horse and chariot, you know, but it was a difficult car to get to grips with. I do kind of feel, I don't think he's going to win the championship, but I do kind of feel this is a bit of a make or break for Moffat. He's been in around the sport a long time. He keeps getting top drives. He's very good at putting sponsorship together. You can't argue that. But he is now in one of the premier teams again. And it's difficult because I don't think he's really captured the form and promise he showed in the Laser Tools days, back in the Mercedes Laser Tools days for a long time. I think he disappointed a little bit at Infiniti, disappointed a bit at Toyota, disappointed a bit was it One Motorsport or was it, within the Honda, disappointed a little bit at Toyota last year. We're going to get another season of disappointment.
It's the chopping and changing between teams. When he had that consistency back when he was in the Mercedes AMG, the A-Class, he was able to find nice stable ground over a couple of seasons, whereas over the last couple of years, he's chopped and changed with cars, chopped and changed with teams. And I almost think that can unsettle a driver. So it'll be interesting to see how he adapts. I think he'll definitely want to be going above his 13th place finish last time out, last season. But I also think we've got a slightly more competitive field this season. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a really difficult one to pick for where he's going to finish and what his expectations for the season are going to be.
Yep, he is joined on the opposite side of the garage by Charles Rainford, who's come through the Porsche Carrera Cup Great Britain. Obviously, it's his debut in the touring car, so he's eligible for the Jack Sears. First time in a rear-wheel drive touring car. Obviously, the Porsches are rear-wheel drive, so you have a little bit of experience along that kind of that system, but it is chalk and cheese when you get to the touring cars. It's difficult to really know what to expect from Rainford. He's been very quick in Porsche. He's sort of developed his craft there and he's looked very good at times in the Porsche as he's come through. But we've seen Porsche drivers come to touring cars and struggle. We've seen Porsche drivers come to touring cars and do really, really well. It is a big unknown. Obviously, his main goal this season will be to mix it in amongst the Jack Sears. You'd have to say on paper, he's one of the favourites, but when we're going through looking at the Jack Sears, it's very difficult to really pick a favourite
really
because I think it's probably the strongest Jack Sears we've ever had. Certainly, we look at range of car as well, and the fact that you've got five drivers in manufacturer-backed vehicles in the Jack Sears. Yeah. So that'll be his aims, is to do well in Jack Sears, take a few Jack Sears wins and, you know, try and be there or thereabouts at the end of the season where it comes to the Jack Sears Championship. Are you expect anything in particular from Rainford?
I want to see progression throughout the season. We've obviously seen it in the Porsches, how he's managed to progress through the different classes that I have in the Porsche field. So if we could see him sort of like at the season start to bed in, then start to gain points, more points, move into the top 10 quite possibly, and maybe even take a nice podium by the end of the season would be quite nice. But yeah, it'll be interesting and a bit of a baptism of fire jumping into a series like the Touring Cars and going in at such a prestigious car as well.
Absolutely.
Moving on to Team Virtue then, obviously still running the Hyundai i30. And we
have Fastback End Performance. Come on.
And we have five drivers for them this season. So we've got two drivers running split season. But first off, we've obviously got Tom Ingram.
Sorry, yeah.
What?
We'll get to that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got Tom Ingram, first of all. Came up just slightly short in the championship last season, finished second overall, had to pass his crown over to Jake Hill. But it will be his goal this season to retain that title once again. And I think he's got a decent chance.
But yeah, Hyundai looks strong out the blocks in testing. Again, you have to put the massive asterisks and the huge bucket of salt next to anything that happens in testing. But I would say all six Hyundais looked good at points at media day. Ingram's goal will be to win the championship and anything else will be a disappointment for him. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see as the team whether they're going to be able to take it to the likes of Ford and BMW in the Manufacturers and Teams Championship. But I think they've got a slightly stronger lineup this season compared to the last couple in the fact that they've brought Adam Morgan in this season. It'll be interesting to see how he reverts back to a front-wheel drive car. The car livery we much prefer to the standard Virtue one, but less said about that the better, I think.
Yeah, I don't like it. I've seen it in the flesh. I don't like it.
What do you think Morgan's goal is going to be? He finished eighth last season.
Yeah, I mean, just to be a bit less anonymous, you know, if you asked me to name the grid from last year, he'd probably be the one driver I forget to name.
Yeah,
because he was fine, but just not spectacular. I think
he had one podium last season.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I don't think he's won a race since the Car Gods days.
Nope.
So that's a couple of seasons ago. Yeah, I think that his ambition would be to win a race. I mean, I think in the back of his mind, he'll won. You know, if he can hit the ground running, can he challenge for the title in the car? Potentially, because the car is good enough. But I think for him this season, it's a season of, you know, readjusting to front-wheel drive systems again, getting used to being back in a sort of a team like this, you know, and yeah, I think if he can pick up a couple of wins along the way, that will be a good season for Adam.
Do you think he could play a crucial role in Ingram's challenge for the title in the way that we haven't seen some of his teammates do in the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, that'll be part of the reason he's been brought in, is because they haven't had that, or enough of the drivers that can mix it comfortably in the top six on a regular basis. Morgan can do that if he's in the right frame of mind and in the right equipment. So we'll just have to see what he can do this season and see if he can be that foil for Tom to help him to the championship.
Yeah, hopefully Tom Chilton, who is back again with the team for this season, can also help along that way. He finished 10th overall last season. He did take a win at Croft.
I thought it was a really strong year, to be fair. I think he was let down by mechanical problems a couple of times throughout the season. I remember his car, the shot always being cut into Chilton's car. It seemed to be on fire every week, but we went for that little period.
Yeah.
I actually think he's in a really good bit of form in his, he's been in the series a long time, and there's been a few years you've just, again, he's been a bit anonymous and it's been, oh, Chilton's here.
Mm.
Anyway. but actually, I think last season he had a really good purple patch. And I think, again, I don't think he's going to be a title contender. But the crucial thing for the other Tom in the garage is that can he and Morgan be left flank, right flank to, you know, really help
take points off other drivers.
Exactly that. Yeah. Take the points off the other drivers. Exactly that. Yeah.
And then we get to the split fourth car for Team Virtue. So starting the season will be Michael Kreese, who managed to get a deal over the line late on and unfortunately wasn't at testing.
Well, he was.
Didn't have a car at testing, shall we say, and looked rather tired when we spoke to him. but he will be running the first half of the season and it's going to be an interesting entrance because the first time he's going to get in the car is a shakedown this week leading up to Donington and then right on it in FP1 at Donington, it's going to be a steep learning curve in a car he hasn't driven before.
Yeah, it's such a shame he's not doing the full season. I mean, because how do you look at what he's going to be aiming for? Obviously, you know, as he spoke to us at Media Day, he'll be aiming for a podium or if he can sneak an outright win. With the reverse grid, it's possible, but he's got to learn very quickly in a short amount of time, knowing that with each race weekend that passes is an opportunity potentially gone.
Yep.
I think for him this season, it's going to be basically reminding people that he is, you know, a driver and trying to maybe get sponsors interested for next season where he can hopefully run a full one, because it's no good to either of the drivers really to run half, because you can't, you know, your expectations and your, you know, what you can achieve are automatically limited.
Yeah, we've mentioned this already. I think they had Accelerate Team Virtue had already hung their hopes on having Zelos in that seat and hopefully for the whole season, which is why they've had to almost fall back on this option of having Kreese and the second driver, Senna Proctor, who will come in for the second half of the season and will be testing in the first half of the season. I almost think he's going to be more prepared to be in the car for that second half of the season and could well do better for the season.
Yeah, but I think... Yeah, I'm very excited by Proctor. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's a really quick, exciting driver. He's been off the grid for far too long. I think it's 3 years now. Time absolutely flies. Mm. You know, it's a shame he's been off the grid, because I think he's a really quick, exciting racer. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he will come into this series a bit more sort of, prepared than Kreese will be. And it is quite shrewd from Virtue in some ways, because if they are going into a championship battle towards the second half of the season, with all due respect to Kreese, if I was picking a teammate to try and, you know, hopefully mix it the front, take points with people, etc., it would be Senna, multiple race winner.
Yep.
I'm glad he's back. It's a shame he's not doing the full season, because I'd be interested to see what he could do in a full season. But
it'll almost be a case of, I think, whoever does better out of those two drivers is going to have the much better chance of getting on the grid for 2026, as long as they can then get the sponsorship together. But it's a really good package that they can sell to go, look, I can do this in a touring car. I'd like you back in. Will you be able to support me? And I can give you some good promotion and sponsorship on opportunities.
Yeah, what was interesting at Media Day on Toker FM, whatever it was called, Senna said the reason that he wasn't able to, you know, compete the last 3 years is the hybrid was too expensive.
Yeah.
And now the hybrid's gone. Suddenly he's able to get back in. And you do wonder if that's going to be a factor for a couple of drivers. You're thinking of drivers that aren't on the grid. Bobby Thompson being the one that springs to mind as a obvious example, whether that will be something that they can look at moving forward to get back onto the grid.
I think that's part of the reason that we've also seen quite a few rookies come in for this season, because the overall cost for running a car has dropped off significantly from what we hear. But it'll be interesting to see how it changes the performance of the cars, because we said last season that hybrid started to work. So, yeah, getting on to Toyota Gazoo Racing next then, a four-car lineup. All in a lovely black livery Toyota. As we've been mentioning for the last couple of seasons, it's what we've been wanting to see. And they've changed all four drivers again.
Yep, new livery, new brand, or better branding, as you say, new driver lineup. So we'll start with Ronan Pearson, who did compete last season for half of it, or just over half of it, with obviously Accelerate. He finished 16th overall. Yep, he's back. He seems very eager to go. A bit of a make or break, I think, for him, because at points he looked really good in his time with Accelerate. Other points he didn't look so good.
Obviously took a win last season, but that was the highlight. For the rest of the results, he actually finished outside the top 10 for all but one race, and that was the first race of the season where he finished 5th. So I think this season he's going to be looking, especially in the Toyota, which apparently they've been developing over the off season, to take some weight out of it, make it a more competitive package. I think he's going to look to hopefully be consistently in the top 10. But with the other drivers that are there, I think it's going to be really difficult.
Is that weight coming out a couple of driver egos, maybe? I won't say. We won't say Hume.
You said that.
Interesting what Pearson can do. Obviously, there as well, Aaron Taylor-Smith has made the move across from PMR. He was really the breakout success story of last season, finishing 7th overall, beating people you wouldn't necessarily expect him to beat, particularly in the machinery he had, and finishing behind people you'd more than expect him to finish behind. Didn't take an outright win, did take a podium. I think this season would be very similar for him. It would be a case of trying to keep that form he seems to have found, because he's been in the series on and off a long time. I think the last two seasons we've seen him produce his best stuff in the sport. The only caveat to all that is going to be he has moved team.
New surroundings, new things to get used to, new processes.
Andrew Watson looked very good at PMR, didn't look very good at Toyota, and isn't back for this season. Yeah. I think Antonio Smith has got a little bit more experience and nous about him perhaps to negotiate that change. But, sometimes it's better to be a big fish in a small pond than a small pond in a big fish. small fish in a big pond. So, we'll have to see how he gets on. I don't think he'll ever have as an explosive a season as last, if I'm being brutally honest.
Okay.
But I also think he's got to take the move when it was offered to him because he's in, with all due respect, the twilight of his touring car career.
And there was also a hell of a lot of uncertainty with PMR going into the season, having lost a massive sponsor. Yes, okay, they have still got onto the grid, but it was a late-on deal, and there was only room for one car in the end, which we'll get onto. So I think Taylor Smith has made the right decision.
Oh, I agree, yes.
But whether it pays off for him, we will see throughout the season.
We lose a multiple champion in Colin Turkington, who walked away, but we gained a multiple champion, albeit of one less title, so that's rubbish. The touring cars is finished, it's washed, there's no point watching. Gordon Shedden is back, which took everybody, I think, including himself, completely by surprise. Obviously, he's been off the grid for a while since the demise of Team Dynamics a couple of years ago. He is back. As I say, he's a three-time champion. He's a multiple race winner. I can't remember off the top of my head how many he's won, but it's a lot. I don't know what to say because
I don't either.
Because we've seen drivers cling on too late. Jason Plato, Matt Neal come to mind. But then equally, when Shedden's rug was pulled, he was still competing fairly well at the front of the grid. I would say he wasn't competing for championships, but he wasn't sort of Jason Plato pootling around in 16th and hoping for the best, was he? So
I think even though he is a three-time touring car champion, his achievements in the sport and his amount of wins and races that he's raced in have kind of gone under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, I think he is a little bit underrated.
When people go in and talk about, these are the best drivers that we've had in the championship, I never hear his name mentioned.
I think you're right.
But with the titles he's got, he obviously, yes, he was in that era where that Honda was so quick and so dominant.
Yeah, but he still beat people like Turkington, Neal and Plato in that era.
It'll be interesting to see how he adapts to the Toyota. Whether he's done testing last season, we don't fully know. And we saw Huff come in last season and struggle at times.
But also do really well at times.
Exactly. So I've got no idea where Shedden's really going to finish in this championship.
No.
He could be a surprise package. He could be challenging top six. He could be just a midfield driver. I think it depends on the weekend. I think it depends on how comfortable he feels within the team and how comfortable he feels with the car.
I don't think he'll be mixing it for the title, in all honesty.
Not at the end, no.
No.
Nor do I.
But I think he'll certainly pick up a couple of race wins along the way. And then completing the Toyota stable is James Dorlin, who has built minis before this.
He's done a little bit of GT racing as well. Obviously new to the championship, we'll be going straight into the Jack Sears. And again, same with Rainford. I think it'll be a baptism of fire coming into there. But he's got some good experience heads around him in Aaron Taylor-Smith and Shedden that he can almost lean on them for a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of advice in how to take a weekend, how to deal with the ups and downs of the touring cars.
I just hope it's not a Sam Smelt style season.
Yeah, I'd like to see him take some top 10 finishes, maybe even a top 5 at some point, and then try and concentrate on finishing as many races as possible, because that will be the best result for him, ideally, in Jack Sears.
Absolutely. Okay, Dokie, the final manufacturer on the grid this season is Napa Racing, and obviously they have retained their driver lineup, which seems to be a dying art these days. So we'll kick off with Dan Kamish. He is obviously back for more. He finished fifth last season. He took a win late on last season, a couple of podiums along the way as well. He will want to be mixing it in the front. He'll want to be challenging for the title. Whether he will or not, I don't know. Well, I don't think so, personally. I think for me, there's three drivers that will be ahead of the rest of the field, but we'll have to see how he gets on.
He's had a tough couple of seasons with Napa. Not everything has gone his way. He's had some issues with big accidents and stuff like that, and struggling to find consistency in the car. I kind of think this might be a make or break season for Kamish. If he doesn't perform this season, then I think we could see Napa looking elsewhere.
Define perform, though, because he finished fifth overall last season. He was in the championship hunt until fairly late into the season as well.
I think he wants to be going into the final weekend, final two races, maybe, with a chance of the title.
Yeah, but from Napa's point of view, he did. I think it's slightly harsh to say he's not performed, personally, because I think fifth overall is not bad.
I'm not just talking about last year. I think in the time that he's been at Napa, the trouble is, you compare him to Sutton.
And I think he compares himself too much to Sutton. I think that is part of the problem. Obviously, he's not in Sutton's side of the garage. He's with Dan, isn't it? It's only Dan's. He strikes me a little bit like Lando Norris, a bit of a very self-critical, puts the pressure on himself a lot, and is comparing himself to all-time greats.
Has very high expectations.
Yes.
And in previous championships that he's competed in, he has hit those expectations.
And he's dominated, hasn't he?
Yeah. And I think this is the level where he's really finding out what kind of driver he is. Obviously, the disappointment of coming so close in the Team Dynamics Honda will possibly sit a little uneasy with him. And I don't know whether it gets to those crucial situations and something like that might pop back into his mind.
I don't think so. That's what sets elite drivers apart from the likes of you and me. But I don't think Cavendish will win the title. I'm going bold early. I think it's a battle between three drivers, and I think that after that, anything goes. But I think he'll certainly win races, and I think he'll be crucial for Napa trying to win a title, whether that be drivers, teams, manufacturers, or all three. I don't know what else to say about Cavendish, really. I think his performance is absolutely fine. I think it's just a case that you are comparing him to Ash Sutton, who is...
He wants more wins this season, definitely.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that.
One last year out. Obviously, plenty of seconds in there. He just needs to convert those to wins, and he'll be there or thereabouts, I think.
I'd agree.
Moving on to, obviously, Dan in the other side of the garage, Dan Rowbottom. He had a tricky season last season, finishing 11th. Certainly not as good as the season before, when Napa were all dominant. So I think he's going to look up at a step up from last season, certainly, and to be more competitive, have more top 10 finishes, pick up more podiums along the way, maybe even a race win here or there.
Have better luck will be on his agenda as well.
Would be quite helpful. Yes.
Yeah, he is one of the more unluckier drivers on the grid with issues and whatnot. And again, I think perhaps, someone else that puts a bit too much pressure on themselves, I think that's come across on the limit and other bits and pieces. I think he's a very good driver, a very capable driver. Yep. I just think he needs to just drive. I know that sounds very simple for me to sit here and say it.
Just drive, man.
And again, he's in a team with an elite driver and a driver who should have probably won a championship. Well, he's on the cusp of elite, if he's not quite elite yet. That's a debate for another time. But, he's in a garage that's got four drivers' championships, should really have five. Mm. And, that will be pressure.
Yep. Sam Osborne, obviously back once again with the team, will be trying to take home that Jax's victory. Finally, he's been in the championship for so many seasons now, and he's always come up just that little bit short. More consistency from Sam this season. We saw signs of it last season where he brought more and more pace to the car, and I think he's looking more and more comfortable in the team. Finished 15th overall, so if he can reduce the amount of non-scores that he has, I think that will really help him along the way.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's in some ways it doesn't matter when you are a family-owned team that you're almost guaranteed a seat. But I think this year he's got to do Jack Sears. Has he got to win it? It's difficult to say he's got to win it just because of how good the Jack Sears is this season. But he's certainly got to be closer than he was last year in it.
Yeah, it's almost got to be like down title fight, same as the championship, down to the last round of the season, be in it to win it, and you never know, luck might go your way. There's always a little bit of luck that has to play in every championship. And then finally, Ash Sutton, four-time champion, trying to make it five for this season, and I think he's got a damn good chance of doing it.
I don't know. the only big question mark I have over it is that how much are Napa going to develop the car? Bearing in mind the engine freeze that is coming into effect, and bearing in mind that it seems for all money in the world that they are changing car next year. Mm. And also, I think the Focus will be fairly close to its end of shelf life as well, so they can't necessarily sell it at the end of the season, or if they do, not for a high price. So will they develop it particularly? I mean, as I said before, Sutton could take a horse and chariot and make a damn good effort of winning the title in it. So do I get the feeling that and this might be unfair, but do I get the feeling Napa have developed as much in the off season as Hyundai or Virtue, if you want to call them? I'd say I don't get the feeling that they have. I could be wrong. But equally, as I keep saying, there's three drivers that come in the championship. We discussed two, and this is the third one for me. I don't see a driver outside those three winning it. And I think Sutton will certainly be there or thereabouts.
He had a really good run at the start of last season, taking seven podiums in a row.
Yep.
He had four non-scores across the season, but only took three wins.
Yep.
I think if he can convert more wins this season, then he will be right in that challenge to the final race, almost in the final laps as well.
I would say he overdrove the car, though. It did lack a fair bit of speed at times last year. So we'll have to see. I say, look, Sutton is an elite driver. He's one of the greatest of all time in the sport, and he's still got potentially his peak years to come. Whether, I say, my biggest question mark, my biggest doubt is over what sort of package are Napa going to bring this season. We've had a year of dominance. We've had a year where they struggled. What year are we going to get this year? I don't know. And that's going to be, look, immediate, he was going freaking fast. he was going ridiculously quick. And
the car didn't look unsettled or nervous. It looked planted. It looked exactly how he wanted it set up, especially going through the old hairpin at the bottom of the Craners. It was ridiculous how much speed he was able to take through there. So if he can channel that into the majority of the rounds this season, then...
And if Napa can make sure that they just make sure the rear wings are a bit better bolted this year, that might help as well.
I think they might have got some extra strong Gorilla Glue for that.
Yeah.
Moving on to the independent entries for this season then. So they'll be looking to challenge for the independent teams and independent driver's title, as well as obviously the overall title as well. We've got one motorsport returning in a Honda Civic.
Who knew?
And more specifically with the Toker engine. So we've got Josh Cook jumping
back. Who saw that coming?
Jumping back across into a team which he found loves. Real comfort in.
Well, he loves.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
And I think seeing him back in that environment, we could see...
A win at Thruxton. Almost guaranteed.
Yeah, I might put a bet on that now, actually. We could almost see a driver that might even take that step up and finish above sixth in the championship this year.
I think, and I'm going bold on this one, I think Cook is the most likely to challenge those top that three I've mentioned already.
Really?
Look, this is a car... He loves this car.
Yep.
He was... fast at media day. He was he set the quickest. I know I always say the Astrid, but regardless, he still went quickest and broke what was the previous lap record. So even if you say the teams are sandbagging, fine, but Cook still broke records.
As did Sutton.
But Cook has jumped back into that car, looks quick, looks comfortable. And when Cook is comfortable, he is a very, very good driver.
Yeah, I like his helmet design for this season.
Yes, me too.
Nice beanie with the radio earphones over the top.
I think Cook is really going to be challenging this year. I don't think he's going to win it, as I keep saying, but I really do think he's going to be one to watch this year because...
He's got to be favourite for the independents title.
100%.
At the very least.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. I think he could be comfortably possibly in the top five of the championship
I think so.
His teammate Stephen Jelly returns to the British Touring Cars,
yes,
second time in front wheel drive. The last time we won't talk about it, didn't go particularly well in front wheel drive.
I mean, if anybody can remember what that was, then have a point, because it took me to, I had to sort of go, he didn't drive one of those. He didn't furiously google that car.
So obviously he had a year in the Porsches, didn't set the world alight, had some decent results, but coming back into the championship, it was quite a surprise that he would return with this team.
Yeah, I don't think anybody saw it coming. It's a solid driver lineup in some ways.
He's going to have a jelly season.
Well,
we've referred to this in the past. A jelly season is just, we'll score some decent points along the way, but probably finish about 14th in the championship. And I just feel like it's going to be another one of those.
I don't fully disagree. Yeah. I don't know what to say about sounding negative, because it's not, a wheel hasn't turned in anger yet, and I don't want to write people off straight away, but I am concerned about going back to front wheel drive machinery. I am concerned. I suppose for him, in some ways, there is almost no pressure. This is Cook's team. This is Cook's team. This is Cook's world, and Jelly's just living in it. So,
But I think if it really gets down to the crux of it, I don't think he's the type of driver that is going to be there if he needs to support Cook, if Cook is there in a championship battle towards the end of the season. unfortunately.
I would agree, but...
he may have to do a lot of the work on his own.
Or he'll find a real sweet spot with the car and...
Yeah, you know, it could amaze us.
You know, I don't know with Jelly. His whole career I've not known. Because at times he looks really good and you go, blimey, he's a really solid driver, this guy. You know, the stuff he did, particularly in Team Parker Racing on his own, was at times phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
And then other times he go, who's that? Who's turned to that person into, oh, okay, yes, yes, right.
Jelly's
okay.
Involved again, unfortunately.
So I don't know. I think we'll have a better idea of how Jelly's season's going to go after the first round or two.
Yeah. Moving on then to Unlimited Motorsport, and they have had a massive expansion this season. Mm. They've gone from 1 to 3 cars overall. It looks like they've borrowed a license from PMR, because they will only have one car.
Or bought,
yes.
Just for lawyers.
But they will be running with main Rocket sponsorship on Dexter Patterson's Cupra Leon. Obviously, Dexter had a year out last year and was eager to get back to the championship, I'd say, because he's a favourite of yours, isn't he?
There's a racer in there. Did you know how many different branches of Rocket there were? Because, I mean, you've got the main bit and then all the little subsidies underneath, which is interesting. Look, I think it's cool to have a big sponsor on the grid. I think the car looks great. Your views on gambling, etc., is a tricky one. I don't think it'll be long until these sort of things are outlawed, but it's tricky because at the end of the day, these are the companies like the cigarette companies before them who have the big money and can afford to put teams, you know, money on the table to let teams go racing. It's very difficult to find what you might call, for want of a better term, ethical sponsors. And that's not to say that Rocket are unethical, again, for the lawyers. It's just that they are slightly
from
more...
a shovel, mate.
I think to some people, Rocket will be slightly more controversial than Liqui Moly, shall we say.
Yes.
But I'm not against it. I'm not against it, personally. I think the livery looks really good. Dex is back. There's a racer in there. Interested to see how he gets on. The Coopers looked quick at their hands. Both him and Hall, who we'll get to in a minute, I'd say have got potentially the best out of it so far that we've seen for a while.
Jack see his contender for the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think he's got a little bit of experience in the sport as well. And I'm not going to sit here and be able to reel off every race he raced in previously, but I don't remember him getting into any sort of major trouble during his time in the sport in terms of silly moves or getting caught up in accidents. He just seemed a fairly solid
driver. Keeps his nose clean and gets on with his business.
And for the Jack Sears, that is exactly what you need.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned Max Hall there. Coming into the championship, 17 years old, and with a pretty stunning livery, I'd have to say. That classic front grille of the eyes and the teeth growling. You really don't want it coming up behind you in your mirrors. Something that we've seen in his Mini days. And he has been setting some timing screens alight in testing.
Yeah.
It's been really surprising with how quick he is. Now, it could well be low fuel runs, plenty of talk about all the times that he's been doing. He's really great for his sponsors, and he kind of knows how to sell that brand.
What's really good, I think, for both Dex and Max, is, and actually Nick as well, is that they all got a lot of testing in today. We've seen it in the past where smaller teams can't run for that long because of the money it takes for the tyres, the fuel, etc. Whereas they both put, all three of them,
Leon was a great example of it with Unlimited last season. It was all very last minute. Obviously, we didn't see the Duckham's livery until the day. And when we walked past or through the garage last season, there were probably 8-10 mechanics if there, that, and that was it.
If that, yeah.
It looks like a much more professional setup.
Yeah.
A much cleaner setup.
Yeah.
And I think going ahead...
Well-oiled.
Into this season, we could well see those drivers spring some surprises.
Yeah, I'm going to go bold and say I don't think even win a race, but I do think that I can see one of them potentially getting a podium.
Yeah.
I really can.
Yeah. And then finally, to complete that lineup in the Cupra Leon, we've got the Powder Monkey Brewing Company with Easy Dock, with Nick Hamilton.
Yeah, great to see Nick back. He didn't look too far off in the timings during testing either.
We know he's comfortable in a Cupra, and we know that he's got all his disability set up for that specific car. Yep. So I think it'll be a comfort for him to go into that car, not having to learn loads of new, almost like seating positions and stuff like that. I think he should settle in fairly nicely.
Yep, I completely agree. And I think for him this season, it'd be a case of trying to score points. And I think he can do it. I think, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility he takes a Jack Sears win. Again, to stay competitive with Jack Sears, he's just got to make sure he finishes the races, which, to be fair, the last time he was in it, a couple of years ago, he was a lot more consistent in finishing races, and that's the key thing.
Yeah, he certainly was. I'll be interested to see if he can reach the heights of, obviously, his top finish, I think, fifth or sixth at Donington, in some mad weather conditions. And we could obviously see some mad weather conditions that will throw up some unusual results this year. But the drivers have got to be there or thereabouts to actually take advantage of them. Moving on then to Restart Racing.
Yeah, I'm really excited by this outfit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They've had a massive update this season. Obviously, last year they were running the Cupras, but they have dropped into a Hyundai i30 with help from...
Well, their customer
team.
Yeah.
Help from Team Virtue, who will be helping them with sort of like background information, setups and stuff like that. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. And the two drivers that have driven their car before, so I think that helps even more. So we've got Chris Smiley back from TCR and...
Who's at Restart last year as well.
Yes. And also Dan Lloyd, who's come back from the Porsches.
Yeah, Lloyd didn't have a particularly fantastic season, the Porsche, I think it's fair to say. No. But he previously to leave in the sport, he'd had probably his two best years in the touring cars.
Yeah.
So interesting to see how they go.
Both race winners, remember?
Both race winners. The Hyundai looked quick again. Here's the salt, pour it in. But but all the Hyundais look quick on media day. We know it's a good car. It's a good driver lineup. I think they'll get on well.
Do you think either of them can challenge for the independent title?
Yes.
Yeah? Do you think they'll run Cook really close?
No.
Or, okay.
But I think, in terms of the teams, I think they'll be really close to one on the teams. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be nip and tuck between those two teams for the independents. And it'll be interesting to see how they perform over the season, consistency-wise. I don't think there's going to be too many issues with funding. Obviously, we know Lloyd has slightly struggled in the past, but I would hope to see both drivers finish the season.
Yeah, me too. There's a lot of sponsorship on the car, so hopefully, and if they do well, then that always keeps sponsors happy as well. So fingers crossed then, because I'm quite interested to see how they go. I wouldn't rule out either of those drivers winning a race this season either.
No, nor would I. I think possibly not even like reverse grid either.
Potentially not.
So the final car on the grid for this season is Mikey Doble in the Motorparts Direct with Powermax Racing Vauxhall Astra. I think this is the last season that the Astra can be run.
I think we said that every year for the last however many, but I think you are right.
It'll be interesting to see if anything develops going forward into 2026. Now, back to only running one car with PMR, we know the difficulties that they've had over the off-season, but at media day, Doble was there or thereabouts with the pace.
Yeah, he's a very quick driver. We know that he won the Jack Sears last year. He'll be a force in the independents. I don't think he'll topple Cook personally, but he'll be a force in the independent championship. Can he? Obviously, he got a podium last year. Unlucky not to win the race in many ways. He'll have a fantastic final sort of lap push on him at Alton Park. He finished 12th overall. Yeah, I think for Mikey this year, it's just going to be a case of keep chipping away, keep chugging away.
I think
score as many top tens as you can.
Yeah, more top tens and possibly even sneak a couple more podiums. Maybe even get nice and lucky on a reverse grid, because we know he's got the pace once he's out there to hold the majority of drivers off.
I think the other thing he needs to potentially do is work on race pace. He's got a lot of one lap pace.
Yes,
he's been a good qualifier. But in the race, it just falls away a little bit. And to be fair, that's not necessarily all his fault. That's potentially the car setup and stuff. But I think over one lap, he's very quick. And I think you'll see him qualify quite well throughout the season. It's just whether he can convert those qualification positions into meaningful, high-end finishes.
Yeah, I think if he can be there or thereabouts and finish 12th in championship again, maybe with a higher points total overall, then I think he would be happy. Especially with how the team is now set up this season with just that single car.
Although it does also mean that all the focus will be on him.
It will, yeah.
From PMR. Whereas last year, I imagine it was probably split and maybe slightly tilted towards Aaron Taylor-Smith just because of how he was going in the championship. That's just a bit of speculation. But this year, obviously, it will all be geared towards him. So it'd be interesting to see you know, as he's the focal point, whether that makes any difference or not.
Just to clear up, so drivers from last season who have missed out and we knew that they weren't going to be on the grid, we're not going to see the likes of Nick Halstead, Scott Sumpton. Dan Zelos was unfortunate not to get a drive, but he will be on the token package in the Porsche Sprint Cup. We've got Bobby Thompson, who has obviously missed out, and then the big one is Colin Turkington, who won't be back. But looks like he's still going to be working with the team in a more
potentially
senior and advisory role.
Potentially. Right, they are the drivers. Let's just remind ourselves of the calendar. So kicking everything off on the 26th and 27th of April, we are at Donington Park. We will be there.
Yes, and then we move on to Brands Hatch Indy on the 10th and 11th of May, which again, we're hoping to be at.
Yep, then we have Snetterton on the 24th and 25th of May, which we will be at. It's quite nice that we've...
birthday weekend.
Yeah, we've got races on both our birthday weekends this year. That's quite lovely. Nice. And then 7th and 8th of June, we go to Josh Cook's Palace, which is also known as Thruxton. Then we've got 21st and 22nd of June, we are at Alton Park, which we are going to.
We are, yep.
Then we have Croft on the 2nd and 3rd of August, followed by Knockhill on the 16th and 17th of August. Then Donington, GP circuits of the extra hairpin, on the 30th and 31st of August. Is that bank holiday weekend?
Yes, it is.
Happy days. We've then got a bit of a break before Silverstone, which is the 20th and 21st of September, before the curtain closer at Brands Hatch Grand Prix Loop on the 4th and 5th of October.
Yeah, we're hoping we're going to see a championship battle that goes down to the wire once again at Brands Hatch GP. But we'll probably, again, be on the sofa, making sure we can keep you abreast of all the action as it happens. We will, of course, be back throughout the season with our season preview or our race previews, our race reviews, and also lots of different content in between. In this build-up this week to Donington Park, we have a video out or a podcast out every single day, taking you through some of the drivers that we've seen in the championship, explaining some of the championships within the British Touring Cars in more detail, and having a look at the runners and riders who we think could be the ones to watch.
Yes. All that's left to do for us now is to seal our predictions, the annual sealing of predictions. So just to remind you that you were the race day prediction winner last year.
Yes, I was.
And I was the overall prediction winner last year.
I let it slip on the overalls, unfortunately.
We swapped trophies last year. Mine is still pride of place just behind us or just in front of where we're recording today. Yep. Earlier today, we have both written out our predictions.
Do you want to change them? I don't know.
Which are driver, manufacturer, team, independent team, Jack Sears, and then we've listed the whole field 1-25 to account for Proctor and Creese's split drive.
It's fair to say we're not particularly confident this season because we think it's going to be really competitive. If you want to do in the comments down below, put your 1-25 of where you think the drivers are going to finish in the championship or who you think are going to be championship winners across the season. Do let us know, and we could even have a look at it at the end of the season when we open our predictions back up. We're getting the gaffer tape out, ready to seal.
I haven't got an envelope because this is not 1945, so I haven't got, not living in the past, I don't have an envelope. So I'm going to use gaff tape in an old Amazon box because
perfect.
Because modern day technology. So would you like to...
So yeah, there you go. 18th of April, 2025.
Well, I can't do that because mine's at the bottom.
That's right.
Oh, but I can promise it. Oh, hang on.
I've seen him write them today.
There you go. Well, you know who's going to be last anyway, so that's fine. Cool. Right. In it goes. Signed, sealed and delivered. That's Amazon. Make sure my partner doesn't throw that away thinking it's a... I thought I'd probably write on it. As I've finished.
Oh dear.
But just bear with me while this is great for audio listeners. Lots of problems.
I think that might be enough. Stop. That's enough.
I don't want to be accused of, any foul play later on. So there you go.
If you haven't done already, do remember to subscribe, get the bell and notifications on. We will be across the whole season on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Obviously, we'll have uploads to YouTube and all podcast places across the year. And we'll try and keep you up to date with all the news, action and everything that happens in the touring cars in 2025.
Goodbye for now.